There are university students among us who are going to be starting in the next week or two. Would you raise your hand if you're going to be taking some classes? Raise them up high. Just anybody else out there? Some hands. I just want to, your hands aren't up right, you can put them down. I just want to acknowledge that that's happening, and that's a big deal. And so I just want to say to you what that song said. The Lord, as you go onto the campus, whatever campus it is, whatever you're going to be giving yourselves to, the Lord Almighty is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress. And if I could go back to my days of college, I would, the thing that I would tell myself, what I would want to know is, I would say, Tony, be as close to Jesus as you possibly can. In the midst of all the other parts that are going on, all the excitement, all the uniqueness of that college experience, to be as close to him as possible, because he's right there close to you. And so that's for you. And then I don't normally do this, but I wanted to give a shout out to Dr. Melendez up there, Dr. Dre. You guys, Dr. Dre is part of our church. Many of you know, Andre is, an infectious disease doctor at Parkview, and, he and Roxanne, the family, have just been on the front lines of this whole thing for 5 months now, day after day. We get to forget about it a lot, but they're just right there every day. And so I just want to say publicly, thank you. And I'll say the same thing to you, that the Lord Almighty is with you every single day, every moment that you're in there, brother. And you too, Roxanne. So, let's, before I finally jump into the message here, let's pray together. From our hearts again, God, we say, you are the Lord Almighty, and you are with us right now. You are the God of Jacob, and you are our fortress. We ask, Holy Spirit of God, that you would come, that you would move among us, that you would speak, that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear, whatever it is you want us to see and hear today. We ask that you would bear much fruit in us and among us and through us as a result of our time together. In the name of Jesus, and everybody agreed and said, amen. So we have been in this series in Paul's letter to the church in the city of Philippi, and we do have a couple more messages that we're going to hope to get to on that. But as Adam said, today, once again, we're going to step aside from that, and I'd like to give just a little state of the church talk, just not an enormous deal, not rolling out like a 5-year vision or anything like that, but just a status update about how we are doing in the midst of this incredibly unique season that we have been in. And I want to come at that this morning by asking and responding to 3 questions. What has happened? Question 2, how are we doing today? And question 3, where are we going from here? Question number 1, how in the world are we doing right now? What in the world has happened? And then question 2, how are we doing today? And then question 3, over the next couple months here, where are we going? And all week long, I've been asking our King to give us a centering text of Scripture, if you will, to use as our guide and as our anchor as we walk through this message and think about those 3 questions. And I believe that the words of Jesus in John chapter 15 are that centering text for us. About a month ago now, Hannah and I had the opportunity to go on a little vacation. And by vacation, I mean just the two of us. We went up, by the grace of God and the kindness of some grandparents, we went up to Michigan for almost a week. And on the one hand, as you can guess, I was just super excited to get to go do this. A week with just Hannah and me, no responsibilities, no corralling kids and all that is involved in that, no email, no to-do list, no pressure, just slow, quiet together up in sunny, pure Michigan. But on the other hand, I want you to know that I entered into that week feeling pretty desperate. I was feeling pretty desperate. I think the effects of the pandemic upon life and upon the church and upon ministry and leadership, mixed with some other things, left me feeling pretty desperate. And so I went into that time really just wanting 2 things. I wanted to, number 1, be with Hannah. And then number 2, I wanted to hear from God. and that's it. Normally on vacation, I've got like these goals for how many times I'm going to run. And I take like two or three strategic books with me. And I didn't even this time take a book with me. I just wanted to restfully be with Hannah. And we were both just feeling desperate to hear from God. And as part of that, I meditated upon the words of Jesus as recorded in John chapter 15. And this morning, before we jump into those three questions, I just want to share them with you. Jesus said, that's a really powerful statement. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also will remain in you. And that word remain, as you may know, to step aside for a second, that word can also be translated as abide. And yes, it has to do, it's like the key word, one of the key words in this text. And it has to do with relationship. You can picture the vine and the branches. It has to do with intimacy. As you can see, it has to do with connection. And what I want to highlight within that today is that it has to do with humble dependence. In the midst of that connection and that relationship between the vine and the branches, there is a humble dependence. The branches are humbly dependent upon the vine for life. And Jesus said, church, remain in me, and I also will remain in you. He said, no branch can bear fruit by itself, independent from me. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Jesus said, apart from me, doing it on your own, operating independent from me, thinking you can figure it out and strategize and run on your own based on your own thinking or the thinking of people around you, on your own, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. However, if you remain in me and my words, Jesus said, remain in you. Think about that. It means we're trusting him enough to live according to his words, to believe his words. It's that humble dependence. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Let me say that again. If you catch nothing else this morning, hear this. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, Jesus said, if you trust me enough, if you're humbly dependent upon me enough to keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that, I love this so much, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. How many of you know this morning that there is a sweet, sweet, almost unexplainable joy that comes with being humbly dependent upon Jesus? He said, I have told you this so that my joy, the joy of Jesus, may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, or to say it in a different way, no one has greater love than this. To lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you keep my commands. Jesus said, you are my friends if you trust, humbly dependent upon, trust me enough to keep my commands. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And you, and you, and you, I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. My brothers and sisters, those are the words of Jesus. And I believe that is the word for us today and in this season as a church. And so as we walk through these three questions, let's keep that as our centering text and our anchor. The first question is this: what has happened? Again, maybe a better, more honest way to ask that is, dude, what in the world has happened over these last 5 months? I mean, think about it. In the beginning of March 2020, 5 months ago now, we as a church were more or less moving along as normal, right? I mean, actually, it wasn't quite a normal season, and I'll get into that a little bit, but there was a lot about life that was pretty normal. Spring was almost here. After the long, dark night of winter, the trees were beginning to bud and blossom. The NCAA tournament was about to begin. Kids were in school, and some of you were getting ready to go on spring break. And for us as a church, community groups were doing their normal thing. Formation groups were doing their normal thing. We gathered on Sunday morning at 9:15 and 11 up in that room doing our normal thing. We were making our way through the book of Acts. And the part that was not quite normal for us as a church is that we had been engaging together since December in what we called a discernment process, something that churches and organizations and other, if even families do from time to time. And we had just sensed that it was a time for us to do this, to enter into a discernment process in which we were working together and working with a coach to go through a process of hearing from our gracious God about the unique way that he made us as a church and about the unique mission that he has for us of bearing much fruit, fruit that will last here in our city and beyond. And we were just kind of moving along normally with all of that. And then, boom, right? I mean, we were just knocked off, all of a sudden, knocked off anything that felt normal. We were shaken. We were shaken out of normal. Like that wind that came through the region on Monday. Our community group was meeting on our back deck on Monday evening, and we were just like watching that thing roll in, and we were like, oh, isn't that so cool? Look at the clouds and look at their color, and they're just like swirling around. And then you guys, all of a sudden, that the front end of that thing hit us and things started flying everywhere, and we ran inside. I mean, we stayed a safe social distance from each other, but we ran inside and then made our way to the front porch. But like that wind that came through our region, just knocking stuff down, taking away power, shaking branches off of trees and more, a global pandemic came blowing through that has shaken everything, especially the church. All of a sudden, we couldn't meet together as we normally do in groups, in homes, and as a church here in our building. Businesses and restaurants were shut down. I mean, dude, even our playground disappeared in what may have been a playground rapture of sorts. Two playgrounds were out in the field. One was taken and one was left standing. I wish they'd all been ready. I want to give a little credit to Adam Clark for at least part of that joke. Normally when you guys don't, I could hear a couple of people laughing. Normally when there's not much laughter, I'm sure to credit Adam for the joke. On Sunday, March 15th, the Ides of March, we did our very first online gathering. I was like a deer in the headlights looking into that camera. Adam and I actually, it was in our living room, my living room, not our living room, my living room, and he came over and he filmed the songs, and then I did the message, and he was sitting there saying amen. I felt really good about it, kind of, and then I got to the end and I realized that somehow when I was doing that, I had stopped the recording. And so I had to record it all again the second time. So that was our first attempt at that. I remember initially thinking that that whole thing would only last a few weeks, and even talking with people about how glorious it will be on Resurrection Sunday to be back together in our building. But like the rest of the church around the world, we have had to pivot again and again and again. We did some pre-recorded gatherings, again, not to try to make some kind of product, but as a way to just try to strengthen and encourage one another, to keep each other connected and keep drawing near to Jesus. So we did those pre-recorded gatherings, then we shifted over to live Zoom gatherings with after parties led by the one and only Adam Clark. And then we started on July 5th meeting here outside week to week, just watching the weather, even this morning, wondering what would happen. We pivoted many of our meetings from in-person to Zoom. We pivoted and did some formation tracks, formation paths. Some of you will remember that. It's kind of a bright spot for us. We offered up these five-week opportunities. One of them was contemplative practices. One of them was how to study the scripture. One of them was taking scripture and then, like, from that creating art and poetry and song. One of them was experiencing God through nature, which we're all doing right now. Another one was a track specifically designed for women to connect and grow together. We pivoted from the book of Acts and felt like the Lord would have us shift over and look at the letter of Philippians for this time. And in those first weeks, we decided to create something called the COVID-19 Relief Fund. Just an opportunity for us together as a church to try to meet real tangible needs with grocery store gift cards. And I just want you to know, first of all, I praise God that we've been able to do that. And I want you to know there's still money left in that fund. And so if you have a need, please make it known. And if you know somebody who has been hit up financially by COVID, please make that known. We want to see you empowered to give those grocery store gift cards away in the name of Jesus. With the discernment process, we've continued to try to press in and press on over these months. And though it has definitely been more challenging to do, I want you to know that I am super excited about what I believe God is showing us in that, like, really excited and think it's significant. And we'll be talking more about that in the days to come. What has happened? We've taken walks together. We've sat on porches together. We've prayed together and for one another. We've made meals for one another. We've pressed into the important conversation about racial reconciliation and justice together. And we have witnessed 4 baptisms. And so in light of all of that, I say hallelujah anyhow. And everybody agreed and said, amen. So that's question number one. Question number two is this. Okay, so how are we doing today? Now that we are 5 months into this, this is our 23rd, it's hard to believe, it's our 23rd Sunday being knocked off of shaken out of normal. How are we doing as a church today? And part of the very honest answer to that question is, you know what? It's kind of hard to tell. Like, it's really hard to tell. I asked this question in preparation for this. I asked this question of the staff this week, and I asked this question of the leadership council this week, and it was very obvious from our attempts at the conversation that it's really challenging to tell. We can see that there are some positive things happening among us, and we can see that there are some challenges that we face. And I believe that the pandemic itself has not caused these things. But rather, what the pandemic has done in so many ways is laid bare what was already there. It has laid bare what was already there, and wherever there might have been troubles or challenges, not just within the church, but anywhere, wherever there might have been troubles or challenges, it has exacerbated or amplified them oftentimes. One of our aims as a church has always been to have people connected together in relationship. We believe a central part of knowing and following Jesus is doing that together in relationship. And so when I look around, I see people staying connected. I do. I see people staying connected in groups, being creative about how that happens. I see people staying connected at the pool, over Zoom. Miss Suzanne's been leading the preteens to stay connected over Zoom. All kinds of things, creative things like that. And yet, I also see that there are feelings of being disconnected as well, isn't there? Sometimes even strong, painful feelings of being disconnected. And again, if you are someone who was already feeling disconnected before March 2020, this has oftentimes laid that bare and exacerbated that feeling. There's reaching out that's happening to one another. There's checking in to see how people are doing. And yet there is a segment of people who were connected with Northeast before the pandemic hit that it's just kind of unknown where they're at. According to a recent Barna Group study that they just did a month ago, 1 in 3, 33%, 1 out of every 3 practicing Christians has stopped gathering with the church during COVID-19. 1 out of 3 in our country. 50% of millennials, which is the biggest demographic in our church. 50% of millennials are not doing the online gathering thing. 50% of believing millennials. And again, that's not about creating a product for Sunday morning. No, that's about laying bare what was already there. As it relates to formation, one of our other main efforts and goals around here is to have people growing, like really growing and living out the beautiful way of Jesus. The word that we use is formation. And you know what? I look around and I see people growing. I see you all taking steps of growth. And yet, one of the other things that I see is polarization. Our society around us is so polarized. I mean, it is getting so intense and it is intensifying. And over these next few months with the election, it's going to be even more. There are these camps out here who have crafted these incredible narratives and they don't listen to one another. They just throw sound bites at one another. You see it all over social media, see it everywhere. And you know what? Those camps are really good at discipling people within the church. And so the polarization in our context has crept into the church. And brothers and sisters, polarization leads to fracturing, and fracturing subtly over time leads us away from the command of Jesus in John 15 to love each other. Missionally, how are we doing? Man, I see people taking steps in that as well. Especially, here's the key word on that, especially in our neighborhoods. And may that be even more. Financially, I just want to give a little update there. By God's grace, we right here, brothers and sisters, we've continued to worship God through giving financially. Our giving has stayed at basically the same level as before the pandemic. And so yes, there is fruit. There is fruit today. There is a humility among us and a forward-leaning anticipation. And there are also challenges and a collective unsettledness and lots of unknowns. And in all of this, I believe the word is pruning. To go back to our text, for the church and for the church, this has been a season of pruning. In a vineyard every year, there's a vine and there are branches that grow from that vine, and the branches grow long leafy shoots. And every year, a couple times, the gardener comes and cuts back some of those shoots, and that is called pruning. The branches of the vine are growing and growing and growing, and the gardener comes in and actually cuts back part of the good growth. And I believe that's a picture for us, Northeast Christian Church. And hear this, I am not at all saying that God instigated the virus. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying and what I do believe is that he has been at work as the good gardener to use it to prune us. And here's why. Jesus said, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. In so many ways, COVID has laid bare, pruned back and shown what was all there all the time. And one truth that it has laid bare is that we are dependent upon Jesus. Let me say that again. One truth that has been, as the pruning has taken place, one truth that has been clearly laid bare is that we are dependent. I mean, totally dependent upon Jesus. We know so little. We are in control of so little. We can't even get, like, there's wind making it hard for you. We are in control of so little. We can do so little. Actually, that's not even true. Jesus said, apart from me, he didn't say, apart from me, you can do so little. No, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that brings us to the third question. Okay, where do we go from here? I believe this is the question that so much of the church around the world is asking. And my brothers and sisters, we're going to press in on this because I believe all that we're facing is an opportunity, is potentially a defining and redefining moment for us. Church, I believe that God wants to do something that we have never seen before. I believe God's desire for the church is a great renewal. Let me say it again. I believe that God's desire for the church is a great renewal. Yes, there has been a great shaking. And yes, there has been a great pruning. And I believe what God wants to do through all of it is a great renewal. A great renewal that is going to mean that we will do some things, maybe a lot of things, differently than what we did before the pandemic hit. And the very best thing, from my perspective, the very best thing we can do right now, going from here over this next season, is to intentionally position ourselves to be radically dependent upon God. Not to lean on strategy and talking a lot about it. Not to lean on our past experiences or our talents or our desires and what the people right around us are saying. Not leaning on our proficiency or on our potential. Not holding fast to the ways that we have done things before, even the things that have worked in the past. But positioning ourselves to be humbly dependent upon Him. And one of the main ways the church throughout the generations has always done that is through prayer and fasting. In fact, if you look back through history, every great revival, every great renewal of the church has been accompanied by great prayer and fasting. And so, if you're willing, that's what we're going to do. That's what Hannah and I believe we heard from God on our vacation. That's what Hannah and I have been doing in our own lives over these weeks and what we are going to continue to do. And we want to invite all of us into that same thing. And so the question is, number three, where are we going from here? We are positioning ourselves, brothers and sisters, for a move of God, for a great renewal. And we are going to do so in part through an intentional season of prayer and fasting. In the month of September, we'll fill in much more details here, but I want you to know, not in the month of September, but starting in the month of September, we are going to be invited into some daily synced up prayer together, daily prayer together. We're going to be invited into some regular fasting together. We're going to be invited into some more of those formation paths together. Because regardless of what's happening around us and how we're able to meet, we want to continue to press in together, knowing and following Jesus. And we want to have important conversations about important topics in this unique cultural moment that we're in. And we're going to, number four, we're going to be invited to engage in some synced up, outward facing missional efforts in our neighborhoods. My brothers and sisters, we are so fragile. We as a church, God is faithful, and we've seen some cool things and we praise Him for that. But we, if nothing else during this time, we have seen we are so fragile. And I fully believe that we are so desperate right now to hear God's voice. And that's the answer. We need His breakthrough in that discernment process to bring it to fruition, to make it fruitful in that direction. We need His breakthrough in what forms we might experiment with in the days to come. And we need His breakthrough in other areas as well. And so this is all I know to do. We're going to cry out to Him together. God is the gardener. Jesus said, "My Father is the gardener." And that means that He is committed to seeing us right here bear as much fruit as possible. He is diligently at work, even right now, to cultivate a garden that bears as much fruit as possible over the long term. And our primary role in that is this right here. Is to remain. Is to abide. Is to be humbly dependent upon Him. Recognizing that, you know what? We don't know the answer on our own. We can't figure this out on our own. And even if we could, we could not get the job done on our own. It is recognizing our dependence upon Him and then operating accordingly. And Jesus said, as we do that, as we together live right there, that we are invited to ask in prayer, which is an act of humble, asking is an act of humble obedience, right? Saying, "I can't, but He can." We are invited. Jesus said, we are invited to ask whatever we wish, and His Father will do it. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And by God's grace, that's where we're going. And everybody agreed and said, Amen. At the very end of that section, as a way, Brother Adam, as a way to lead us into the table, at the end of the section, again, it says, Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Receive that today. As you think about the table of the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "I chose you and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." And ultimately, we know that all of this is possible because that very night that Jesus spoke these words, he was arrested, he was beaten, and on the next day, he was nailed to a cross. And there on the cross, he died. And then on the third day, he was raised back to life. And in so doing, he made a way for us to be forgiven of all of our sin, all of our pride, all of our selfishness, all of the ways we operate out of fear, all of it for completely forgiven because of his death on the cross. And he made a way for us to be new. And he made a way for us to be part of his kingdom together now and forever. And at the table of the Lord's Supper, this is one of those things, talk about being shaken out of normal. We don't have bread, the bread and cup up here. We used to do that. We come and stand and physically, tangibly, tactilely, I don't know if that's a word, but in a tactile way, we eat the bread and drink the cup. And if you brought those elements, you're free to do that. But this morning, as a way to maybe move us, to activate us as it relates to what we're talking about here and where we're going, I want to invite us to do something physically. If you're able, I know there's kids hopping around and wind blowing and all that, but I want to invite you during just for a moment here as a way to fix our eyes on Jesus, to bow. Again, if you can't do that physically, the most important thing for all of us is to be bowing with our hearts. And so, but if you're able to bow physically, sometimes that puts our hearts in that position as well. And so in a moment here, I'm going to just go back and be with my family, and you're just invited to fix your eyes on Jesus, to bow. And brothers and sisters, let's cry out to him during these moments, and let's ask him to move powerfully among us. If you're willing to do that, now's the time.